It's Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Monday, March 9, 2026. I'm Rick Bierling in for Joe Bilecki. In local news, a long-awaited recycling center is one step closer after Holland City Council approved a land deal with industrial recycling company Padnos. WGVU's Dee Morrison has details.
Holland City leaders have spent nearly 5 years researching the benefits of a city-owned drop-off recycling center and how to develop it. Now Padnos is donating 1.5 acres of land to build it.
And who gives things to the government? We get them here at the City of Holland, I believe, because we're good stewards of the resources that people entrust us with.
Mayor Nathan Box spoke at the City Council meeting, where members formally accepted the gifted property at Chicago Drive and Lakewood Boulevard. Padnos Black River Recycling Center is also on the site.
We're making the right thing to do, recycling and sustainability, an easy thing, not only for the people of the City of Holland, but for the people of this entire area.
The land is not within Holland City limits, but in Holland Charter Township. It's a project partner, says City Manager Keith Van Beek.
We actually do much better if way more residents use this site than if we somehow limit it either intentionally or unintentionally to fewer users.
Holland City Council also voted to accept a $1 million state grant to help fund the project. I'm Dee Morrison.
Business and community leaders broke ground today on the next phase of Boston Square's Hub 07 affordable housing project. WGVU's David Limbaugh was there.
Construction is underway on the second phase of Amplify GR's Boston Square neighborhood housing project. Grand Rapids Southeast Side resident Andrea Owens couldn't be happier.
It's been stagnant for a long time, and it's just opportunity not only for me, but for my daughters and my grandchildren.
The $25 million mixed-use development includes 45 units of 1, 2, and 3 bedrooms, 36 of which will be reserved for households earning up to 60% of area median income. It will also feature 10,000 square feet of commercial space along Kalamazoo Avenue.
A lot of the investment in this neighborhood will just create more jobs, more opportunity for housing, green space, just making it more vibrant and more diverse.
The project complements the Hub 07 Community Center. It opened last year, featuring a medical clinic, childcare center, coffee shop, and community space. Once complete, the 10-acre project will include 220 housing units and 40,000 square feet of commercial space. Kent County Commissioner Robert Womack says community feedback on the project was key throughout the planning process.
It's just so important that neighbors have been able to sit at the table. They're still at the table. Kent County was able to give $4 million to the Hub 07 because of the neighborhood input that we know that was put into the building of this.
The first phase of housing is expected to open in June. I'm David Limbaugh.
A 17-year-old remains in the hospital following a Saturday evening shooting at Dave & Buster's entertainment venue in Kentwood. WGVU's Jennifer Moss reports. Authorities released an update on the incident and investigation today.
Kentwood police say Saturday's shooting followed an altercation that happened outside of the Dave & Buster's entertainment venue. Police say the altercation was confirmed by their investigation, which included interviews and security footage along with personal video recordings. During that incident, police say a 17-year-old male who was later injured was seen holding a firearm and pointing it at several people. A 22-year-old employee of Dave & Buster's, police say, was seen drawing his own gun and fired at the 17-year-old. Police say the 22-year-old, who is cooperating with the ongoing investigation, was interviewed and released. Meantime, a 28-year-old male was arrested and lodged at the Kent County Correctional Facility on a charge of weapons carrying concealed. The 17-year-old, meantime, remains in the intensive care unit at a local hospital. I'm Jennifer Moss.
Four tornadoes, 160-mile-an-hour winds, four people killed in the deadliest storm in Michigan in 50 years. WGVU's Phil Dawson reports many people posted what they saw and heard on social media.
Is that a tornado? Oh, my God.
Lisa Nicola recorded one of the tornadoes along Union Lake near Union City. Top wind speed of 160 miles per hour.
Oh, my God. What the... Oh, I hope everyone's okay over there. It is lifting houses.
Police say the storm killed three people in the Union City area.
It's over there. I see it.
In Three Rivers, Lindsay Whitaker was in a car when the tornado touched down and damaged several businesses on West Broadway Street.
Oh, Menard's roof just blew off. Oh, my gosh. We need to go because the storage shed just blew off and everything came out.
Injuries but no reported deaths in Three Rivers. Tornadoes were observed in Branch, Cass, St. Joseph, and Calhoun counties. The first tornado was reported at 11 minutes past 3 in Edwardsburg. A 12-year-old boy was killed.
Oh, my heart is pounding. We better go.
As the storm was passing, Christina Cole was recording when a rainbow appeared.
Look at the rainbow! A rainbow and a tornado at the same time.
I'm Phil Dawson.
A major Muskegon manufacturer is closing two of its factories and laying off 145 employees. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the details.
Pace Industries is an aluminum, magnesium, and zinc die-casting company. In a recent workers' adjustment and retraining notification, or WARN letter, filed with the state, the company announced laying off 145 workers and closing two of its Muskegon facilities at 2121 Latimer Drive and 2350 Black Creek Road. Both are expected to occur April 25th. In the WARN letter, Pace cited a company restructuring resulting in the layoff. Affected positions include general, die-cast, and melt operators, painters, quality technicians, and production managers. Pace was established in Arkansas in 1970. It entered the West Michigan market, acquiring Muskegon's Port City Group in July 2015. Pace officially moved its global headquarters to Novi, Michigan in 2021. The company has one remaining facility in Muskegon at 2281 Port City Boulevard. No word on whether employees will be offered other positions within the company or severance package. I'm David Limbaugh.
And new bills in the Michigan legislature are designed to prevent state agencies from adding administrative hurdles for parents wanting vaccine exemptions for their children. WGVU's Dee Morrison reports.
State Representative Gina Johnson introduced a legislative package that would ensure state departments must follow existing laws without creating new conditions or barriers for parents who want to exempt their children from vaccines.
Because certain departments, whether it's education or DHHS or a county health department, have decided to add extra qualifiers, extra measures, extra barriers, and in many cases, a delayed process that keeps the children from being able to get their right to education.
The Lake Odessa Republican emphasizes the importance of parental rights, noting bureaucrats cannot use administrative rulemaking to narrow those rights or complicate the process for obtaining medical, religious, or philosophical exemptions.
Let the parents be the parents, encourage them to be good parents, and we partner with them, the county health department, the schools, child care centers, etc. We partner with parents, we don't dictate to them.
Johnson's district includes parts of Kent, Ionia, Barry, and Eaton counties. Companion bills have been introduced in the state Senate. All have been referred to committee for further review. I'm Dee Morrison.
This is Focus West Michigan. In a moment, WGVU's Shelley Irwin speaks with Thelma Ensink from Degage Ministries on the Downtown Pathways Project to fight homelessness in Grand Rapids. In state news, a state Senate committee held its first hearing last week on a bill to stop employers from demanding pay history from job applicants as part of the hiring process. We have more from Rick Pluta.
Democratic Senator Sarah Anthony is the bill's sponsor. She says demanding pay histories thwarts workers from being paid their true value in the marketplace and is a cause of women being chronically underpaid.
It helps to stop unfair pay practices from following workers from one job to the next and supports greater economic stability for families.
The bill would also forbid employers from requiring information from applicants about their history of fringe benefits and credit history, except for finance-related jobs where laws or professional standards require it. The Senate Labor Committee plans future hearings. One hurdle is widespread opposition from business organizations. I'm Rick Pluta.
Local farmers and residents assembled at Ferris State University on Saturday to talk to candidates running for local, state, and federal elections about agriculture policy. Many residents and farmers voiced their concerns about legislation affecting labor, energy, and fertilizer. David Trias lives in Big Rapids and comes from a long line of farmers. Trias says he's concerned about the war with Iran jeopardizing the cost of fuel and fertilizer.
And it's affecting the prices of things that farmers need to operate, not just survive, but to just operate. To get up in the morning and do something requires gas. What affects farmers affects all of us, but it affects the farmers in a concentrated dose.
A key waterway in the Middle East that 20% of the world's fuel passes through is closed following the ongoing conflict in Iran. Ingredients for fertilizer are also blocked from passing through this essential route as prices for both commodities begin to rise. And a state audit out Friday says the state isn't properly checking credentials for school-based support staff like counselors, speech pathologists, and bilingual aides. The Michigan Health Department is supposed to frequently check credentials for federal reimbursement for those programs. But the audit says those reviews are behind schedule and that the state didn't always address cases when people didn't have proper credentials. The report also found the state wasn't doing a good enough job overseeing the third-party contractors it works with to review compliance with federal requirements. The state health department says it's updating guidance, procedures, and providing more training to fix problems. And that is State and West Michigan News here on Focus West Michigan from WGVU. Grand Rapids Area Chamber Foundation presents the Downtown Pathways Project, focusing on next steps to end chronic and unsheltered homelessness. WGVU's Shelley Irwin spoke with Degage Ministries' Thelma Ensink about this partnership and its goals.
New steps in an effort to end chronic and unsheltered homelessness have been announced thanks to the Grand Rapids Chamber Foundation and many partners involved. This Downtown Pathways Project to elevate collaborative events important to you. I know Thelma Ensink, President, Director, CEO, and more of our Degage Ministries. Always a pleasure, Thelma. Glad you're here.
Thanks so much for having me, Shelley.
Did you bring cookies?
I did, from the Open Door Bakery.
Yes. How are things at Degage? We are still talking snow in the forecast.
Yeah, you know, this time of year, we're tired at Degage Ministries and all of our partners in homelessness response. It's been a tough winter, and so when we start to see sunshine and a spring thaw, we're feeling a lot of hope. You know, we are serving people who, for whom winter can be a real life and death issue. So we're excited that spring's in the air.
And for one who's not heard of Degage, what are you all about? What's your mission?
So Degage Ministries is a homelessness response provider here in Grand Rapids, the only emergency shelter for women, but we also have a housing project for people with complex needs and a case management program for somebody who was chronically homeless but now housed.
Partners have come together to provide a community update on the sunset of the 100 and 100 campaign. You are my spokesperson, Thelma. What's been happening?
Well, we're so excited about the success that we saw in the 100 and 100 campaign. We have now housed 207 individuals who experience chronic homelessness, but we don't want to stop there. And so this Downtown Pathways project is really an expansion upon 100 and 100 with four main goals. And what we want to do is have a vibrant downtown Grand Rapids for all. So housing our unhoused neighbors, but also making sure that it's safe and clean for businesses and visitors downtown. We want to have a robust homelessness response system, which is not only shelter providers, but also housing. We want to equip our businesses with, here's a number to call, or here's how to help somebody when you encounter somebody experiencing homelessness. And we want to communicate transparently to our community. Here's where we're making progress. Here's where we're getting stuck. Because homelessness isn't a Degage or a Chamber of Commerce issue. It's a Grand Rapids community issue.
One of the key partners, Grand Rapids Chamber Foundation, on this. So you, one of the partners, other institutions in our area also involved?
Yeah, we're so grateful that the Chamber of Commerce Foundation is helping to bring partners together. But it's homelessness response providers across, you know, all of the population. So not just Degage, but Maltrotter Ministries, AYA, Family Promise. We have Catherine's Health Center as a central partner in this as well, Flywheel Momentum, Grand Rapids Housing Commission, and so many more that I, you know, can't name in this broadcast. But, you know, it's just coming together, public and private partnerships, to solve this issue together.
Taking a bit of this more apart, one of the goals will be a smart homeless response system. What's this?
So right now, you know, we've got Degage Ministries, we've got Maltrotter, we've got AYA, Family Promise, all working to solve homelessness for subpopulations. But what we want to do is come together and say, are our buildings in the right place? Are we sharing all of the best practices across our response providers, and do we have the right kind of housing resources? So each of us right now are looking at our subpopulations and saying, what kind of housing resources do they need? Do they need complex care housing, permanent supportive housing, a housing choice voucher? What might be the right resource? And how do we make sure we have enough resources in Grand Rapids so that everyone can find a place to call home?
And you mentioned, Thelma, businesses involved, this deemed a public-private philanthropic partnership. So making sure businesses are involved.
Yeah, Yeah, you know, we're so grateful in Grand Rapids to have over 3,000 members in our Chamber of Commerce, you know, businesses who care about Grand Rapids, who want to call Grand Rapids home. I think sometimes as homelessness response providers, you know, we've kind of been at odds with businesses. Businesses would call and complain about maybe somebody sleeping in their doorway or leaving litter. And homelessness response providers were just focused on serving clients. And I think in this conversation, we're trying to come together for win-win solutions, because homelessness response providers want a safe and vibrant community. Our unhoused neighbors want to feel safe in their community, and businesses want to feel like customers want to show up and it's a clean and it's a vibrant place for them to walk in. And so we're really working together between businesses and response providers to see how we can create win-win solutions.
And Thelma, it looks like radical transparency is involved. There'll be some monthly progress reporting here?
Yeah, it's really important that we communicate both what's going well and what's not. You know, during 100 and 100, we frequently talked about building the plane while we're flying it, which means sometimes you feel like the wing's not in the right place and landing gear's not coming down. And those are the kinds of things that we face in homelessness response sometimes. Sometimes, you know, the referrals aren't coming through in a timely manner. Sometimes we don't have enough units available or vouchers available. Sometimes we're noticing, you know, increase in maybe crime or issues on the streets. And so being honest about what are those problems and how can we come together to find solutions.
Thelma Insink with us. Again, Degage Ministry strong under her leadership, along with this Downtown Pathways project to elevate collaborative efforts. Is this an ongoing next step?
Yeah, so we just launched in our webinar on March 3, and what we're doing now is we have one-year goals, which I just listed, and now we have what we call quarterly rocks. So every quarter, we've got to make some strides, some steps towards those yearly goals, and we're going to keep going until we end chronic homelessness. Our goal is to end chronic homelessness by the end of this year.
You are calling the community to take action. Thelma, not only immediate neighbors, but all of us. Are you asking for donations to the Flexible Financial Assistance Fund?
We are. Those flexible donation dollars are very few dollars we spend per person on deposit, first month rent, or lease guarantees that helps individuals find homes that wouldn't otherwise have access. So going to the Chamber of Commerce website, going to their Chamber Foundation, and donating there to the flexible funding can help our neighbors find a place to call home.
So we know GrandRapids.org will get you started there. And yes, why is it called Downtown Pathways? Because you are creating the work to create clear pathways to what? Housing stability, individual wellness, economic vibrancy, Thelma.
That's right. It's so important that we focus on all of those aspects. And I think historically, sometimes we've just been, you know, hyper-focused on homelessness response, but it's really about creating economic growth and vibrancy for all of Grand Rapids residents.
Great. All right. To action item one more time to meet your ultimate goal, Thelma.
We'd love for everybody to follow us both on the pathwaysgr.org website, on the Grand Rapids Chamber of Commerce website as well. Follow us on social media. We'll be sending out some newsletters, and we'd love for people to donate towards this cause.
How can others get your cookies?
Come down to the Open Door Bakery, 144 South Division, or our Open Door Bakery website. We'd love for you to enjoy these cookies, and you will be employing, enjoying, and empowering women.
Wonderful. Thelma, again, thank you for your leadership with Degage Ministries, this Downtown Pathway Project, and more. Take care.
Thanks so much, Shelley.
And that is Focus West Michigan for Monday, March 9, 2026. I'm Rick Bierling. Patrick Center is WGVU's News and Public Affairs Director. Have a great evening. We'll see you on Tuesday.